I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from the waterfront in Morro Bay, California. Right now we're with Donna Sandstrom, the founder and director of the Whale Trail. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Tom.
Back in the day, you had a career in software, high-tech world, and there was a game changer in your life that changed what you do and how you do it. What happened?
Yes, I had a career at Adobe Systems, actually, and I've been following this passion for the whales for a long time. I had fallen in love with the orcas, but everything came together in 2002. We had a little orphaned whale show up near Seattle, a little orca.
Within the Puget Sound.
Yeah, she showed up right near where I live in West Seattle, near between Vashon Island and West Seattle. You know, orcas stay with their families their whole lives long. It was very unusual to see this whale by herself. She was also in somewhat poor condition. Her skin was really mottled. She was catching her own food, which was kind of amazing, but no one really knew who she was until 2 weeks later. Through the calls she was making, she was identified as a member of the Northern Resident Community. So because these whales are all known individually, it came together like an incredible detective game where it turned out she was Springer. Her mother had died. Her grandmother and her aunts and the rest of her pod were likely still alive. They lived on the north end of Vancouver Island, but there was no way she was going to naturally reunite with them. There was no chance they would come down towards Seattle or that she would find her way back to them. So NOAA Fisheries posed a question to the community, what should we do? And their options were to send her to an aquarium, to rehabilitate her via an aquarium, or rehabilitate her in situ. And I, along with other members of the community, encouraged them that if she was healthy enough, she should have the chance to go home. Happily, they committed to do that, and we, as nonprofits in the area, kept our part of the bargain. We did a joint fundraising project called the Orphan Orca Fund. We got in-kind donations from the community to support the project, and I learned a really important lesson, which is that generally people want to do the right thing if they know what the right thing is and you make it easy for them to do. And everybody we approached about donating something for Springer, everybody said yes, whether it was the foam pad on the barge she rested on or the duct tape and buckets they needed or ferry passes for the staff that watched her. It was just an incredible experience watching everyone come together for this whale. You know, this had never been done before, so it was a dramatic, tense situation. Anything could have gone wrong, but happily everything went right. Springer was healthy. She was dewormed. She was carried home on a donated catamaran, and her grandmother and aunts came to greet her less than 24 hours after she was put back in her holding pen in Johnstone Strait, actually in Blackfish Sound. So that was the other huge message I learned, is that nature responds. You know, two nations came together because these whales cross international boundaries.
I was going to say, that was a Canadian killer whale.
Yeah, she was, right. And so it took two governments cooperating together, all these nonprofits cooperating together, and businesses and individuals up and down the coast who invested in this one little orca, getting her back with her pod, and wasn't even considered a success till she came back the next year with them, which she did. And she came back she's come back every year since then. And 3 years ago, she had her first calf.
Oh, how cool.
So it's a complete conservation success. And it was that inspired me to leave software and start the Whale Trail. When our orcas became endangered, and knowing the plight of whales in this ocean, in the time that I'm here, I want to make sure the whales have their next. We're all here just for a minute, and I want to make sure the whales get theirs.
Even though we're in Morro Bay, your home port is Seattle, Washington.
The Whale Trail is headquartered in Seattle, but we have a reach now that spans across 4 states and 2 countries.
Was it birthed in Seattle? Was that where it was incubated?
Yes, absolutely. The Whale Trail was started first to build awareness about our endangered southern resident orcas. We've got 3 pods of killer whales, JK and L pod. You might be familiar with, having lived in the San Juan Islands. And those whales are the same whales who were heavily captured in the 60s and 70s. All the first whales that went to places like SeaWorld all came from the Northwest, and mostly from those pods. Their population overall went down by more than a third. All the calves and the breeding mothers of an entire generation were gone.
Wow. What's the head count now? What's the population?
78.
78. Total within the entire Puget Sound.
Yes, that's J, K, and L pod.
When you go up across the border and you're in the Inland Passage, what's up there?
There's 2 populations of resident orcas. The northern resident orcas live around the north end of Vancouver Island, and they're called the northern residents, and the southern residents around the southern end. The northern population is much bigger. I think there are about 280 whales now, and much healthier. the southern residents, again, who were heavily impacted by the captures, they actually seemed to be recovering from the captures. And in the 80s and 90s, their population was steadily increasing till they reached a high of about 98 whales in the late 90s. And then their population started crashing. They started dying too young and too soon, to the point that in 2005 they were declared endangered by NOAA Fisheries.
Well, we've been talking about the killer whale, but that's only one among many species of whales. Talk to us about your nurturing and protecting the other species.
Right. So we started the whale trail to build awareness about where the orcas go. In Puget Sound, people think of them living in the San Juan Islands, for example, in the summer, but it's not true. The entire region is important to them, especially for the salmon it produces. Our whales eat salmon. They're opportunistic, but they mostly like salmon, and they especially like Chinook salmon. So our first goal was, through sights and signs all around the region, identify places you could see whales from shore. And our signs tell the story of the whales even when the whales aren't around. So that's the exciting thing, is that if someone just out for a Sunday stroll sees one of our signs, they'll look at this sign and have a new appreciation for whose home they're looking at. So we originally actually even thought of calling it the Orca Trail. And then we realized, no, we're about all whales. You know, people get really excited about the orcas, but that same excitement translates to excitement for, you know, the whales you have on this coast, the incredible, the gray whales, the blue whales, the increasing sightings of humpbacks, as well as the otters and the sea lions, and just a little north of here, the elephant seals. So our ultimate goal is to inspire appreciation for marine mammals and their environment. And through that sense of awareness and appreciation, trigger a connection that inspires people to take better care of it. So that's kind of the two pieces of it.
So you specifically flew down from the Northwest to the Central Coast. And
yes.
You did a presentation, something is starting here that's new.
Yes. So we added, over the last year, we've been working with different groups in the Central Coast, California Highway 1 Discovery Route, Stewardship Travel, and tourism boards in Avila, San Simeon, Cambria, Oceana, Nipomo, and Los Osos Baywood, to add those communities to the whale trail, specifically to identify spots in each of those communities where you could see whales at some point during the year. Our criteria, most of our places, you're not going to see whales year-round, but all of these places have to be places you could see whales or other marine mammals, have a reasonable expectation at some point during the year. And they're all beautiful spots. If you visit a whale trail spot, you're going to see something no matter what.
I imagine central to your mission here on the Central Coast would be the creation and installation of signage, interpretive and descriptive.
Exactly. Our first signs in California were a little bit north of here in Monterey Bay. The National Marine Sanctuaries funded our first signs in California at Point Reyes, Point Lobos, and in Santa Cruz in 2014. And then the community groups here, the tourism groups, saw those signs and wanted to extend the whale trail further south to let people know here where's the best place to see whales. So, for example, at the Avila Pier, at the Cayucas Pier, at Montaña de Oro State Park, and at San Simeon, and in Cambria along Moonstone Beach, all places which I'm told are wonderful places to see whale. Unfortunately, not while I've been here, but generally when the gray whale's on their northbound migration, those are all excellent places, or in the summer, places you can see humpbacks. So we're celebrating. We've been working for over a year on these signs together. All of our signs are a collaboration. We work closely with the community groups and the site host to decide which animals go on the signs, and then describing the site itself. Our goal is to connect people deeply to the place that they're at. You know, when you're standing at this spot, what do you see? What can you expect to see? And the signs tell a little bit about that spot.
Does the reach go beyond signage? For example, we're right on the Embarcadero and we're looking at three whale watching vessels. So whale watching on the water would be another component of your mission?
Well, our mission is to promote shore-based whale watching.
Okay.
We certainly support sustainable whale watching. Mm-hmm. We believe the animals have the right first to safe passage through the seas. This is their home. And so we, you know, any vessel that goes out whale watching, of course, has to respect the Marine Mammal Protection Act whale watching guidelines. And in Washington State, those are more stringent because those are endangered whales. So
and a lot of it has to do with harassment and distance. And
yes, exactly. There's a greater distance limit on the whales. It's called the Be Whalewise guidelines on our endangered southern resident orcas. Because for our orcas, why they're endangered, you know, they could disappear in as few as 100 years. These three pods that have been here for tens of thousands of years, all the things that are bringing them to the edge of extinction are man-made. That's the lack of salmon, toxins that have accumulated in the salmon they do eat, which accumulates in the whale's blubber and makes them more susceptible to diseases, and stress and noise from boats. These are all human-caused things. I'm just optimistic enough to think that if we've created these problems, we can solve them. The issues for the whales off this coast are different, but no less pressing. And that's our overall message, is one of optimism and urgency, that the time is now to protect the oceans, which are the home for these whales.
Back to your primary mission, it has everything to do with awareness and education.
Yes, education. So our website is a hub. It's an information hub about the sites you can visit and the species you can see there and stewardship tips. Here we also partner with groups like Stewardship Travel.
Talk to us about some of the details of how stewardship travel here on the Central Coast dovetails with the whale trail.
Right. Well, for example, we encourage everyone to travel lightly. For example, we'd encourage you not to bring a plastic water bottle out when you go whale watching. Carry your water in a recyclable container that you pack in and pack out. Of course, don't disturb the wildlife. Whatever you see, remember you're in their home. Especially that goes for seal pups on the beach. You know, you might see seal pups at some of these locations that have been intentionally left there by their mothers, but people, well-meaning people, make the mistake of picking up the seal pups or doing something with them when really what they need is space till their mother comes back from foraging.
So again, education and awareness.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. Unfortunately, with the whales and even the oceans, we have so many more questions than answers. I think the whale trail is one way we can inspire the next generation of marine scientists as well. For example, we all know that the humpback whales are recovering. Their population, they're greater in number than ever, and they're coming back along the coast. And that's the same story all the way from Costa Rica up to Alaska and from Hawaii to Alaska. We see the same thing in Puget Sound and up in the Salish Sea, ever more humpbacks. They are coming closer to the coast, but no one really knows why. They're here likely because of the bait fish. For example, the sardines have come back to Monterey Bay in the last couple of years, which have attracted these incredible numbers of humpback and other species. But what brought the sardines back? We think it's a positive sign that Monterey Bay is getting healthier, and that's why the sardine have returned, and that's why the whales have returned. The same thing going on in the deeper ocean. We don't know. So it's encouraging, but there's so many questions.
Talk about dolphins and any of the interpretive tour-led things that you guys might do.
Yes.
Up and down the coast.
So in Seattle, where I live, we have shore-based naturalists who go down whenever the whales are around. We have a bag of binoculars. We're donated to us by REI. We go down to the shore, and sometimes the whales are right there, and sometimes they're further out. So we want to make sure everyone can see the whales. And we train people what to look for. Sometimes people can be staring at a whale, not even quite recognize what they're seeing. Because, of course, what you always look for first is the spout. You look for a disturbance on the water, and you'll see a bunch of little ripples and splashes that might mean that there's a school of dolphins coming. Or you see a giant splash and realize a whale has just breached. So our shore-based interpreters help people understand who it is they're looking at.
Talk to us about some of the nuances of the whales and what they do, their behaviors. I was out on a whale cruise out of San Diego, and the docent said, "Oh, look, that whale is spy hopping."
Yeah, well, that's the most incredible thing about cetaceans, is they exhibit this wide range of behavior. Spy hopping is when they stick their head up out of the water and they look around. Whales have really good eyesight, similar to humans. Of course, their primary way they know the world is through acoustics. They use acoustics to communicate with each other.
What are they looking for or at? Or
when they come up out of the water? Well, I think they're looking around. And I tell you, if you've ever had the great thrill of looking at a whale in the eye, you know you're being beheld by an intelligent creature. And I think that's really also the heart, the great joy in this and in the whale trail, is recognizing this ancient connection we've always felt with whales and dolphins just as a species. And many of the places we've identified, we're not inventing anything new. These places have been known ever since there have been people here. They've been known them as places where the whales are, and this connection has happened between our species kind of across time. And whales go to people's hearts, I think, the way almost no other animal does. People become in awe when they see a whale. And we want more and more people to have that experience, because it is life-changing. I mean, there's nothing like being out in Seattle when handing our binoculars to kids who come rushing at you. You know, where are they? Where are they? And then the whales spy hop or they breach. That's the other thing. The whales do seem curious about us. And that's also, I can't say that about a lot of things in the animal kingdom, but the whales will approach to their own detriment. you know, right whales were hunted to extinction because they would come close to boats. So bowheads, of course, have learned to be wary of humans. Happily, along this coast, we've got one of the best conservation stories of the last century, which is the recovery of the gray whales, you know, who were protected and then through the Remarkable Protection Act came back from being almost down to nothing in the 50s. And along this whole coast, the whale trail started out with our goal of putting sights and signs all around the Orca Range. Now we're thinking bigger. With our sign in San Simeon, actually, we were outside the Southern Resident Orca Range, but now we're set our sights on the whole West Coast from Baja California to Alaska. In 2014, we started working with a partnership team in British Columbia. So now also we've got sites up in the Northern Resident Orca Range and up in Prince Rupert further north. So I'm really optimistic we can do this. Yeah,
that's great. Or you are doing it.
Yeah. And the thing I love about the whale trail is that it's deeply local. We're just bringing local knowledge forward. Everywhere you can see whales, there are some whale people who know where to watch them, and we just want to share that information with the general public, so when you come someplace, you know how to get to those places and watch from shore.
Starting with the Central Coast, where are some of the targeted locations that you guys have identified that are optimal for whale watching?
Well, the sites we've just added, certainly Moonstone Beach in Cambria, San Simeon, just south of the rookery there, out of the Elephant Seal Rookery. There's a great spot near the Cavalier Resort Hotel right in downtown San Simeon there. Awesome spot.
Uptown.
Yeah, and exactly. Avila, you know, the Avila Pier, I'm told that humpbacks come in and practically reside there through the summer. Morro Bay has had great experiences with humpbacks. Where we're sitting right now. Oceano Dunes, our sign there that's on a sand dune, so they're going to be a little further out. But I think just where this place is situated on the gray whale migration, and then now because of the humpbacks coming in, are all going to be good spots.
And going south, a couple favorite spots in Santa Barbara County.
Well, in Santa Barbara, I know there's a spot just in north Santa Barbara. There's a whale tail. We have a friend who makes whale tail benches, Bud Bottoms, and he's got a bench and a spotting scope out there, so I think all he needs is a whale trail sign now.
Yeah.
And then working further south, Point Doom in Malibu, I know was a great spot. Point Vicente in Palos Verdes, near where I grew up. And actually, I just want to get a map and start circling these points. Here's the other thing. We don't know where they all are. We're waiting for the communities to tell us. It was the Central Coast people who came to us and said, hey, these are the good spots. This is the great joy of the whale trail. Even in Washington State, I learned about all these great spots on the Strait of Juan de Fuca where the gray whales came in that no one knew. Again, it's bringing the local knowledge forward and connecting this experience up and down the coast.
Let's go north for a moment. Monterey, Carmel, yeah. Coastline, and...
This is very exciting. So right now, our northernmost site is in Point Reyes, at the Point Reyes Lighthouse as you walk down that path. That's a great spot. We were just awarded a Hollings Award from the National Marine Sanctuary Foundation to do the whale trail in Northern California, specifically focused on the Southern Resident Orcas, because our endangered Southern Resident Orcas come as far south as Monterey. Elpot has been seen as far south as Monterey Bay. Uh-huh. Yeah, and J's and K's. In 2014, J-Pod was seen as far south as Humboldt. So we want to build awareness of those whales along that part of the coast, because generally, we did a tour in 2014 with Eric Hoyt, a great marine conservationist, and what we found is the further south we went, the less people knew about J.K. and Elpods. And we want everyone to know throughout their range who those whales are, that they're endangered.
And they all have names, don't they?
They do. Each of the whales is individually identified. You can tell orcas apart by their saddle patches and by their dorsal fins. And since the 70s, the population studies began in the Northwest in the 70s, coinciding with the tail end of the captures, when they figured they better figure out how many whales there actually were, realized they'd terrifically overestimated how big the population was. But anyway, since that time, every individual has, its life history is known. They're probably one of the most well-studied populations of animals in the world because they're individually known, which is also why it's a bit heartbreaking when we hear of a whale dying. For example, J34 is an 18-year-old male who was killed in December by blunt force trauma. We're still waiting to hear from DFO what caused it, but certainly not a natural death. We had a 100-year-old orca granny pass away, and hopefully that was a natural death. She lived a long...
Our goal is... 100 years.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, she set a new bar for how old we know orcas can be.
Amazing.
So, And of course, along this coast, this is also what excites me. You can tell gray whales apart by the patterns on their tail flukes. The same thing with humpbacks. So imagine we could have people watching the same whales. You know, someone seeing a whale in San Diego and then seeing that same whale a couple days later here and then all the way up the coast.
And 30 years in the future.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, and that's another benefit of the whale trail. When people start becoming aware to even look for whales, then their sightings can help managers like NOAA Fisheries or state managers fill in some knowledge gaps about where the whales are and what they're doing. Citizen sightings are really valuable. This is a big coast, and the more we get people watching and reporting what they're sighting, that's going to really help, I think.
Very cool. For a moment before we go, talk to us about your website, because I'm sure that's a great primary learning tool, educational tool.
Thewhaletrail.org. There are other whale trails in the world, so make sure you put the in front of it. We intend it to be an information hub where you can find information about the sites you want to visit or the species you might want to see. We're just on the verge of relaunching it. In fact, when I go back to Seattle, that's my number one priority over the next 2 weeks. It's chock full of information about the species and the sites, and then news and events. We also do lectures, and that's another thing I'm really excited about, the possibility of partnering. The Whale Trail is all about partnership. We wouldn't exist if it wasn't for partners here and up and down the coast. And maybe we can bring some whale researchers here to talk about the blue whales, what's happening with the blue whales just off this coast.
For further information, you have an email. Somebody wanted to talk to you.
I do. My email is donna@thewhaletrail.org. Pretty easy, and I welcome you. There's nothing I like better than talking about the whales and the whale trail.
Awesome. Donna, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Morro Bay on the estuary. We've been speaking with Donna Sandstrom, the director of thewhaletrail.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.